of Sports, episode 35 for November 28th, 2012. St. Louis University cheerleader Rachel Kelly. This week on the Tech of Sports, Rachel Kelly. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget the Stitcher Radio app for all iOS devices. Stitcher Radio, it's an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher, it's smart radio for your smartphone. And the Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Tech of Sports, the production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. Join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific at netcaststudio.com/live, where you can join the chat room and listen to the show live. We're recording a little early this week due to some logistical problems, but I'm glad to have you with you and glad to have everyone joining us. And we're going to talk about a sport tonight, maybe a sport that's been in the news a little more than it has been in the past. And athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and they always take a risk when they get on their field of play. It's no different with cheerleaders, as they've been in the news recently as the push was on to make cheerleading a sport and give them the same resources and care that athletes like football and basketball players get. Make no mistake about it, cheerleaders are athletes, and the sport is dangerous. There's currently 400,000 high school cheerleaders, 123,000 competitive cheerleaders on teams, and another 10,000 in colleges and universities. This is a popular sport. And our guest tonight is a cheerleader at the highest level of Division I athletics, St. Louis University, and it's Rachel Kelly. She's a junior political science major. I've interviewed her for a Yahoo and Examiner piece recently. I told her with she should be in sports broadcasting with how good she is with interviews. And Rachel, it's good to have you tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, great. You say that now, but at the end you'll be saying, oh, just get this thing done.
We'll see, I guess.
No, you'll be fine. Let's talk about your sport here briefly. And with all of the what's been in the news the last few months, including my article, were you guys aware of all the media attention and kind of the push that was on to get cheerleaders, I'll call it equal rights, or, you know, becoming a sport? And did all the attention kind of give the general public information that you guys have known for a long time that, you know, that cheerleading is a dangerous and hazardous sport?
We've known for a while. I mean, I've known since I started cheering that it's dangerous, and anybody involved in cheerleading definitely knows. And it's always been the same fight, like, is cheerleading or not, or is it an activity, a club, and a lot of people don't respect it or recognize it as a sport. And I think a lot of the different shows in the pop culture today, there's cheerleading shows on TLC and just different shows that have been on TV that have really given us more exposure to the sport and how dangerous it actually is. And competitions like Worlds, which is down in Florida every summer, a lot of competitive cheerleaders do that. And that is just a whole different level of cheerleading I haven't even been able to break into, but it's insane. And a lot of people are finally realizing exactly how dangerous that our sport really is.
It really is. And I'm glad it is called a sport now, because it really is dangerous, and it is a tough sport. You guys work hard, you practice a lot, and athletes I talk with in other sports, they say when they get on their field of play or when they participate in their sport, they don't really think about the risk of injury. Even football players, boxers, wrestlers, they say that never crosses their mind. They have to concentrate on what's ahead of them. You guys kind of look at it the same way, even though your sport, when you're cheering for a football team or a basketball game, you're not at that point competing. You're more of the spirit and support for them. But do you never try not to think about that risk of injury?
Well, you don't go out on the court thinking, oh, I could fall from this stunt and break my neck. But it's definitely in the back of your mind every time, especially as a flyer. I'm a flyer and I get thrown around a little bit, and it's dangerous. And as a base as well, I'm just conscious of the safety of the flyer. That's the number one goal, was to hit everything and make sure nothing hits the floor. And I think we are always aware of that. It's just kind of the basics that you kind of get accustomed to when you first begin cheering. No, it's not always the back of our minds necessarily when we're on the court, but it's definitely the number one priority, is to keep everyone safe when we're stunting.
Yeah, trust really comes into play, and I mean, who do you have to trust most? Your partner, or the people that, especially if you're flying or up on the top of a pyramid or stunts, you have to trust the people below you, or you kind of does the first trust have to come from the coach that kind of choreographs what you guys are going to be doing, or is it, you know, equal trust with everybody? Is that the only way you really can make it work?
I would say the trust in your bases and your back spots probably higher than most of the trust. Obviously, you have that trust in your coach to make sure that everything goes smoothly, but your coach isn't the one there that's catching you. It's your partners that are down below you, and you also have to have a high level of trust in yourself and the confidence that it's going to work, because mental blocks are the biggest thing as flyers that we have to overcome, because if you think you're not going to hit it, it's going to fail, it will. So, but definitely trust in your bases that they will be there to catch you when you come to the stunt.
When I talked to you for the article before, you said that wherever you were cheering, you always had the support of the school and mm-hmm. the resources that they supported you guys. Have you talked to other cheerleaders or other student athletes in sports like cheerleading that maybe at other schools that didn't have that support? And that's kind of what this whole initiative was about, trying to lobby and get that across the board.
I've had a few friends from different universities that they don't have it as well off as I've had it in my experience. Cheerleaders are sort of the bottom of the totem pole. And but the resources are there, especially if you're in a D1 level. It's still a program funded by your school, so they are responsible for making sure that you're alive every day. And we've been really blessed at SLU to have a great athletic program, athletic directors, and PTs to make sure that everything goes smoothly. But it's just more been so broad lately for more opportunities for people to cheer and have the same resources and benefits that universities do.
And it's a two-way street. They're supporting you guys, but you're also representatives of the university when you put that uniform on. And I'm sure that you know, they've told you that, and that's stressed to you guys that mm-hmm. you know, it's a two-way street when it comes to support. Is that right?
Exactly. You're in that uniform to respect your school, to respect your coaches, your teammates, your peers, and especially respect your uniform. Never disrespect that uniform, because that's why you're doing what you're doing, regardless of where you're at. If you're in high school and college or on a competing squad, it's all about, you know, representing your team and your school and your organization.
Yeah, well said. And give the listeners here a little, I've contended you guys are athletes for a while. Give the listeners a little idea of your training routine and kind of what you guys have to go through to put together a routine before a season starts, how much work it is.
We started at SLU over the summer. Tryouts were around March or April, and then we jumped right into practicing together and having a weekend camp. And we definitely stress cardio. We do a lot of dancing and a lot of running around in our routines. So we do a lot of running about every practice. We do workouts just like everybody else does, you know, building up your core, especially leg muscles, back muscles, arm muscles, to lift people in the air, to hold your body weight as a flyer. We tumble, which is working your entire body, cardio, everything, which people don't really see doing flips as a workout. And it's the hardest workout I think that we have. And we also lift people, you know, other athletes throw a ball around or kick a ball around, but we lift into the air. And so sometimes if, you know, a flyer's not holding her weight, that's a lot of dead weight that can feel like 400 pounds when she's, you know, an 80-pound girl. So we definitely emphasize being in shape, but I think cheerleading's also come a long way from being very superficial and cheerleaders having to be skinny and looking at a particular body type. I think, you know, personally, as a flyer, I would want somebody bigger than me to be throwing me in the air, not somebody, you know, skinny. We like muscle, we like volume and curves, and I think cheerleading's come a long way from that. But we definitely emphasize being in shape, being healthy, and working out a lot. We work out every day.
Talk about how you got started in the sport. Did you kind of start when you were a kid, you were tumbling and or maybe doing gymnastics, and at some point you maybe have to decide, oh, I'm not cut out for gymnastics, but do some of the girls use cheerleading kind of as a fallback if they can't make it in gymnastics, or is that kind of changing too?
I don't think so. Maybe yes and no. I did gymnastics maybe for a year until I decided that it wasn't really for me. I was really young, and I didn't really start cheering until midway through high school. And had an injury, and my mom made me quit. So I didn't really get started back up until my freshman year of college. But gymnastics is, I would say, an important aspect because we tumble a lot. So tumbling is, you know, always welcomed on a cheerleading squad, but it's not necessarily always necessary. But the way I got started in college was really random. I went to a very small JUCO in Farmington, Missouri. It's down south. Down south for me, not necessarily for you guys. And randomly, one of my friends said, hey, you should try out for cheerleading. We need a tiny girl to throw around. And so I emailed the coach, and I went to a few of their practices mid-season, and he let me on the team, and I fell in love with collegiate cheerleading, and it completely changed my life and the course of my life. And I'm really blessed that I am a part of SLU's squad coming from such a small town.
Yeah, we have listeners and viewers from all over the world, so they may not be familiar with the sport of cheerleading, and I guess it's becoming more of a worldwide sport and activity, but the college and university system here in the United States has cheerleaders and spirit squads that support the athletic teams at that school, and a lot of them are scholarship athletes, and it's a very big part of athletic programs, and they're very visible, and schools put a lot of time and money into developing a cheerleading program that they can be proud of. In the last 5 to 7 years, this has really caught the media's attention more than it ever has. Has the sport changed just in the last 5 to 7 years? Have you guys started doing a lot more dangerous stunts and dangerous moves? Is that kind of why it's gotten under more scrutiny?
It's most definitely changed in the last few years, just especially with stunts. I wouldn't say necessarily they're more dangerous. I think as the years progress, that stunts are more regulated. I know that a lot of things have been cut out, like certain sort of twists you can do or tucks you can do out of certain stunts, and how many tricks you can do from a basket toss. I just think it's over the last few years in the recent trend in competitive cheerleading down in Florida. And I mean, girls will travel for hours and hours every day just to go across state to go to a certain gym for practice. And I thought that was a little insane, but I mean, if you love it and you love competing, you'll go wherever you need to go to get that accomplished. But in the last few years, definitely, I think with collegiate cheer as well, that competing has been bigger. And so I think that's also caught the attention, just that it's been more emphasized than just being on the sidelines at football or basketball or for us soccer. Sure. That people also be on the mats competing. And I think that's the definition of a sport, rather than just supporting another sport, but competing against other teams and working towards a trophy title.
Yeah, we're talking cheerleading and what a dangerous sport it is with Rachel Kelly, who's a junior at St. Louis University and a member of the cheerleading team. And Rachel, since this show is called the Tech of Sports, we don't just talk technology here, but we do talk a little technology. Do you guys use any special technology with your training or the way you guys choreograph routines? Do you watch videos? Do you get links sent to you on the computer of other schools' routines that you try to copy or imitate moves from or stunts from? Have you guys used video and any technology in your training?
Oh, we definitely use videos. YouTube's a big help on just looking at different schools, universities, on what they're doing that season. A new piece of technology that our tumbling coach recently brought to us in the last few weeks, it's called Coach's Eye. You can get it on a tabloid or your iPad or iPhone or anything. And it's just like a video system that you record doing whatever, and you can do it in slow motion and write on it. I think it's used for any sports, really, but it's just kind of like tracking move by move what you're doing. And it's a little horrifying at first to watch yourself in slow motion and see your body position in different stunts and flips, and you're like, oh, that looks awful. But it's a tool that our coaches use to pinpoint what we need to fix and what went wrong, or what we did good sometimes. And so that's a new one that we've been using. But definitely videos and the internet.
Do they also isolate you? They'll have like one camera on each person, and they'll kind of focus on just what that one person is doing to kind of break down? Or is it always of the group? Have you had is there like a Rachel cam that follows you around when you're competing or on the floor?
No, we don't compete, so there's not a particular per person. Okay. Thank goodness that I might be a little horrified of that, but the technology we use, it's just on your phone or whatever, so we'll do it one at a time or in groups sometimes too, but there is a particular thing you can use on it to just separate one person from the rest of the group on that.
Yeah, cool. Let's take a quick break here for Amazon.com. And Rachel, you can catch your breath or grab a sip of water. And I'll just mention here that at the studio, Amazon.com is a supporter of the studio, and we have an affiliate link. It's netcaststudio.com/Amazon. You can use that anytime you log on and want to order something from Amazon. There's no extra cost to you, and with the holidays approaching, we're all going to be shopping on Amazon if we haven't already. Cyber Monday just ended, but it doesn't matter. We'll be buying last-minute gifts on Amazon right up until a couple days before Christmas and before the holidays. So Amazon is our one of our sponsors. Our link is netcaststudio.com/Amazon. Just log on with that, make all your purchases, and it helps support the studio and all the great shows we have here, and the ability to bring you a show here where we feature somebody like Rachel talking about an important issue in the world of sports that really doesn't get a lot of coverage. So, Rachel, happy to have you back here, and I don't know how you want to do this. I usually have guests on here trying to promote something, a book, a product, or something. I know you're looking for more followers on Twitter or friends on Facebook, without stalkers coming into play. But you are interesting on there. You post a lot of things about your life. I don't know if we need to hear all of them or not, but you keep us informed on the world of cheerleading and stuff. So how can viewers, listeners follow you and hear what you have to say, because it is pretty worthwhile.
Well, thank you. You can follow me on Twitter at rkelly04. It's rkelley0. That's on Twitter. Or I'm under Rachel Ann on Facebook. Not entirely sure what my email is on there. But yeah, I'm always looking for new followers. I don't welcome stalkers, but I like making new friends. So yeah, you're more than welcome to hit the follow button. I want to be a Twitter sensation someday, so you can help me out.
Yeah, well, probably after the show, you'll probably unfollow me, or you'll probably block me on Twitter.
So no, not at all. I enjoy reading your articles. So
well, thanks.
I'm glad you found me on Twitter.
Well, thanks. And you broke up when you were given your Twitter name. It's R. Kelly, R-K-E-L-L-E-Y-0-4, at R. Kelly. Yes. 04. So any listeners, they can always contact me. But I'm sure if they search you, they can find you. And like mm-hmm. I said, you do post a lot of interesting things. And glad that you replied. I interviewed you for my articles, and it really got great response. And really appreciate that. Let's talk about injuries specifically here real quick. And, cheerleading, like I said, is dangerous. And the last stats I got, and I had them in my article, 66% of all catastrophic injuries in high school female athletes over the last 25 years were caused by cheerleading accidents. And by catastrophic injuries, that's defined as an injury that results in a permanent injury, whether it be brain, paralysis, and you hate to mention it, but death. And I mean, 66% of all female catastrophic injuries were results of cheerleading. Did that number surprise you? I think you said it kind of did, Rachel.
A little bit. Some of the numbers I read in the article did surprise me. I mean, I knew at the last that I heard that cheerleading was one of the most dangerous women's sports, but that number seems so high to me, and it worries me a little bit, but it doesn't, at the same time, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and you have firsthand experience with injuries. You're not, you haven't been immune to injuries, and you told me that, you've been you had a few concussions, and concussions are a huge thing in sports right now. I've interviewed people about that, written numerous articles about concussions in sports. It's a big problem, especially in the world of football, where it really is really being careful now with that. I'm sure it's the same in other sports and in cheerleading. And concussion rates have increased in the 10-year period between 1998 and 2008. For cheerleading, it increased by 26%. That's not a lot, you would think, 26%, but the number of people in cheerleading has grown so much that number really adds up to a lot of people. And the concussion rate has remained stable in other girls' sports. So that tells me, like you said, the stunts have gotten more dangerous. You guys are taking more risks. And the high-energy floor routines are really physically demanding. So talk about your experience with concussions. I think you said you've had four, and you've kind of been had to get a doctor's approval to get back cheering. And you're kind of, I don't know what the term for it is, I'll call it grounded. You really can't do any of the high-risk moves anymore. So just talk about that and how you got the concussions and kind of how you bounced back from that.
Well, my first concussion was not directly cheerleading related. It was my freshman year of college, and I had been in a car accident, and it wasn't a serious car accident. I'm a terrible driver, and I ran off. It was snowy. It's really embarrassing. But I hit my head, and I didn't tell anybody, and felt a little weird, and didn't really, I wasn't aware of the symptoms of concussions at the time. Went to practice that day and hit the floor again. And so it was a secondary concussion, is what the doctor called it. And I didn't really notice severe symptoms until a couple weeks later. And I had started blacking out during games, which is never really a good thing. And so I saw a few doctors, neurologist, ophthalmologist, and I had optical nerve damage in my left. So I don't have peripherals right here. So it's no fun. But my doctors didn't want me to continue to cheer because they said if I would have another serious concussion, it could be traumatic, you know, result in some severe brain injury. But me being hard-headed and loving the sport, I begged them to continue to let me cheer, and they gave me some stipulations. I can fly regular stunts. I'm just really not allowed to fly pyramids, and in collegiate cheerleading, pyramids are 2.5 people high. So that is a person on a person on a person's leg, if that really makes sense. Yeah. I have some pretty good pictures on the article that people could refer to. So yeah, I'm not allowed to fly those. I can mid-tier them, which means holding people. I'm not allowed to fly bosses, and it is in the rules that in high school and collegiate, you can't do baskets off of a mat anyway because of concussions, just because it's a higher stunt. So I got a little grounded, not too much to where I was a little disappointed, but no more pyramids or high stunt. Then it was later that I got another cheerleading injury and hit the floor again and got my third concussion. And then recently over the summer, during a summer practice, the same thing went. It wasn't a hard fall. It was just enough of one to bump my head enough. And they said after a few concussions, you get them easier. I don't know much about that. But so after my second one, I guess, you know, just get it a lot easier. And so I'm very cautious of stunts, and I'm very confident in my bases, my back spots, and they're aware of my injuries. So Ashley is over there. Thumbs up. But I'm very confident in them that they have my best interests at heart. So as far as concussions goes, I've had my fair share.
Yeah, accidents do happen. And like you said, when you get that first or second concussion, the other ones come a lot easier. And that's why they've put measures in place in football and basketball as far as checking people for concussions. So it's a big problem. They're still studying it. They don't know what's going to happen in the future with it, but they're deciding on the side of being more cautious than they ever have been. So I appreciate you telling that story. And a lot of it's been in the news that some college cheerleading programs have grounded their entire staff. They're not doing the high risk aerial moves at all anymore. The University of Florida was one where it came out, and they're not doing those anymore. So they're being cautious. They're watching it, and there's people's health and liability at stake. So I can understand that. Appreciate the cheerleading talk. Let's talk about just some general college questions here. As far as, we'll turn it to technology a little bit, and it's been, you know, over 20 years since I've been in college, so it's changed so much. But talk about how technology is used now in the classroom and social media as a student athlete. How has that changed your guys' life? You don't know any different than probably what it is.
Right.
But how much time does that take up in a day, and has that changed your life at all as far as being a student athlete?
Well, Twitter is a big part of my life, as you know. You follow me, and I'm on there way more than I should be, for sure. And but as student athletes, we do have a code of conduct that we are supposed to be following, and you know, no posting drinking pictures or inappropriate pictures, and make sure you don't ever slander your school, slander other schools. Just a matter of respect, just, you know, common sense sort of things. And we just try to keep it classy most of the time. I might struggle with that a little bit. But social media has definitely helped out. Just meeting new people, definitely. Case in point, you know, I'm on here because of Twitter. But it helps us keep in contact, and it helps us as student athletes just be kind of a bigger group together, I guess. And
sure,
as far as the classroom goes, I have one of my classes, it's my ethics class. And we actually use Facebook to keep in touch. just with projects or different things outside of the classroom. And then we also use different websites online with our school's things and,
sure.
To keep in contact and message each other if we need help or it's tutoring and such. So yeah, I think social media is a huge part of college these days. I don't know where our generation would be without it.
Yeah, and something else good about social media is I think you, like you said, there's rules you have to follow, and those are just kind of good lessons you learn that you can apply to the rest of your life as well. So I think social media in the right instances can be used as a learning tool and a way to kind of learn some life's lessons and that you kind of look at it as that as well.
Right. It's the same cyber thing that our parents, teachers, society's been pressing on our generation for a while. If you don't want anybody to know, don't put online. And that's just kind of the, you know, golden rule as far as social media goes. And it being a student athlete, you kind of have to take that one step further. And because as a student athlete, especially in the collegiate level, people look to you as role models. And, my favorite thing is always remember there's a little girl in the crowd wishing she could be just like you.
Yeah.
So I try to remember that, you know, that there are people, there are little girls out there who look to me as a role model, and I try to uphold that as much as I can. I don't think I have little kids on my social media. I hope not.
It's a good lesson. Yeah. I mean, a lot of professional athletes don't realize that that there are kids looking up to them, and so it's good that you realize that. And you know, it just takes one kid maybe that can be inspired by what you guys do and will become a student athlete in the future. So it's a good thing. And you're actually, I gather from your, I haven't talked to you directly about this, but were you interning at a radio station this semester? And is that kind of, are you kind of interested in broadcasting? I think you'd be really good. And I told you, you're going to be a, probably a sideline reporter someday, reporting on sports. Does that kind of interest you at all?
Yeah, that would be so awesome. In my hometown, when I was going to Mineral Area College, I worked at a radio station called J98 The Boot. And it was a country station.
J98 The Boot?
J98 The Boot.
That had to be a country station.
Country station, yeah. It's the country station. And then KREI, it's the AM side of it. And I stumbled upon that job by knowing somebody in the right place. And I didn't really know I liked radio until I got into it. And then I found out I have the gift of gab, and I'm really good at talking. And so I got into that, and on the AM side, it was the political side, which made me decide to be a political science major. But my minor is in political journalism, and I'm really hoping to get into more broadcasting. And I did do a lot of sports broadcasting, too. I did some baseball commentary, and that was a lot of fun. I really like baseball. So I'll be interning at the Bull next semester. It's 93.7 for those of you who get that in range. It's also an iHeartRadio station. Plug that in. And I'll be interning there next semester and getting my foot in the door, hopefully, and being in more broadcasting opportunities.
Yeah, well, you're a natural, and you're good with technology, and you're good with social media, and you're good on the air. So I think you definitely have a future in that if you want. And you know, technology is big in broadcasting as well. So anything you can learn as far as technology wise, and that anything in that level is going to help you in the future. I always ask my guests. We're with Rachel Kelly, a student athlete at St. Louis University. She's on the cheerleading team. And what do they call the cheerleading team there at St. Louis University? It's some weird name, isn't it, Rachel?
We are the St. Louis University Saint Satians.
Saint Satians.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that term before I started following your Twitter feed, so and your Facebook. So I learned something new, but that's a great name.
Yeah, it kind of goes in hand in hand. Our fight song is to the song "When the Saints Come Marching In."
Yeah.
So it's just like a cute little way to add in. So.
Yeah, because your mascot's a Billiken, and I still haven't been able to figure out what that is after all these years. So
it is a good luck charm. Gives you the luck charm.
Okay, and. And also, you lost one of my favorite basketball coaches, in Rick Majerus, this year, he's from Milwaukee as well. And I followed his career for lots of years, and just what a great basketball coach he was. So, you guys are moved on from Rick Majerus, and hopefully you guys have a good season. And I always ask my guests one last question before we wrap up. I think I know the answer. What's the one piece of modern technology that you absolutely cannot live without?
My iPhone.
Yeah, I figured. You got everything on there, don't you? Your pictures, all your phone numbers, all your information, don't you?
My entire life is on there. My alarm clock is on there. Twitter, of course, Facebook, my contacts, my emails. I email frequently from my phone, and pictures, like you said, videos. I don't even know what I would do without it. I don't even want to think about what I would do without my phone. I'm so glad my parents can't ground me anymore and take it away from me.
Parents can always ground you. It doesn't matter what age you are. So I'm 43, and I think I was grounded a couple weeks ago. So don't ever say they can't ground you. Last question is, how many iPhones have you lost since you've been in college?
Actually, none. Still my very first iPhone. I'm so proud of myself. It's not even cracked or anything.
What do you have, an iPhone 4?
Yeah, 4S.
I think you need to tell your mom, parents, you need to upgrade to the 5 for Christmas.
See, I don't know, because you have to get a new charger for that, and I've got 6 chargers because I lose them, and I would be lost if I got the iPhone 5, I think.
I hear that from other people as well. They miss having all those they have a charger in every room. So
right, or depending on other people, when you go over to their house, hey, can I charge my phone? Like, you can't really do that with the 5, so.
You got your friend Ashley there. She might let you charge your phone there.
Yeah. She's letting me use her dorm, so I think she might let me charge it, too.
Great. Well, appreciate you. Appreciate you coming on, Rachel. Appreciate Ashley for letting you use her room. And you were great. And give the viewers one more time how they can follow you on Twitter. I know you want to get to that million follower mark and try to take on Justin Bieber, don't you?
Exactly. You can follow me on Twitter at rkelly04. That's at rkelley04 on Twitter.
And not the other R. Kelly, the one that's a little more famous. We don't want to follow him. We want to follow the good R. Kelly.
Not the pedophile R. Kelly, the cheerleader one.
I wasn't going to say that, but you can.
Oh, sorry. Should I not have said that?
No, you can. We can say anything we want on here, so don't worry about that. But hopefully you get some good followers out of this and some good opportunity, and really appreciate you having you on, and have a great holiday. And get those papers done and get ready for finals.
Exactly. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rachel. And just hold on for a second here while we wrap up. And just want to let everyone know the Netcast Studio has many other shows which may be of interest to you. And you can head over to netcaststudio.com and check out all the other shows and content that's available. And also Radio CSS at radiocss.com is our sister network. Just want to let you know you've been listening to the Tech of Sports podcast, a Netcast Studio production.